carpet down the building, first floor. We're getting, again, as I said, closer and closer. We've got furniture ordered to have a little elbow room in regards to a new place for Bible study and keep everybody in their prayers in that regards and continue applications. As it looks like we actually might be in this building before fall is over, provided the creek don't rise and God continues to bless us in this regards. So I'm excited about it, and I'm not going to let everybody go off and not be excited with me. If you're not, then you've got a real serious spiritual problem. All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue on here. The doctrine of the day of the Lord, as we're looking at the length of the day of the Lord, subpoint C, page 5 of our notes, and looks at the fact that while it begins with a period of wrath, massive destruction, the millennial passages, the Old Testament, envision on the opposite side of the dichotomy of expression by Christ an extended period of blessing for the earth. We should look to Hosea and Isaiah, also Zephaniah 3, 14 through 20. Shout for joy, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away his judgment against you. He has cleared away your enemies through the battle of Armageddon. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. That day will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. Don't worry about the Persian next door developing their nukes. Do not let your hands fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I will gather those who grieve about the appointed feast, the marriage supper as it exists in this period of time. They came from you, O Zion. The reproach of exile is a burden on them. Behold, I'm going to deal at that time with all your oppressors. I will save the lame. Gather the outcast, I will turn their shame into praise and renown. And all the earth at that time will bring you in, even at the time when I gather you together. Indeed, I will give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth, and I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. So three, the critical passage for determining the length of the day of the Lord is found in 2 Peter 3:8, which is found in the context refuting the false scientific theory of uniformitarianism, the evolutionary theory. This passage explains the reality that the plan of God is not to be viewed in terms of the endless ages required by uniformitarian evolution. It is to be viewed in terms of one day equaling approximately 1,000 years. Again, 2 Peter that we looked at when we went through the epistle brought out that this would be a dominant human viewpoint, lie that people fall for. In the last days, the mockers mocking God's creation with their own brand of existence. In that vein, verse 7, but the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire and judgment that will come upon peoples as well as the ultimate disposition of our planet and universe. Kept for the day of judgment, destruction of ungodly men. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So B, this allows for one divine week, approximately 7,000 years in duration, in which the issues raised by the angelic conflict will be resolved. From the point of restoration of our planet, creation of man, to its ultimate resolution, dissolution of this heaven and earth, the great white throne judgment, is a period of 7,000 years in history. Not thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of years, as men otherwise propose. See, the seventh day of the divine week, the day of the Lord, is characterized as a period of rest. the whole world will be at rest. Isaiah 14, 3 and 7. And it will be in the day when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil and harsh service in which you have been enslaved. Verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet, and they break forth into shouts of joy. And that follows the Babylonian reign and her ultimate destruction. Jeremiah 50, verse 34, we read the entire chapter previously, verse 34, the Redeemer is strong, the Lord of armies is his name. He will vigorously plead their case, during an appropriate volition, so that he may bring rest to the earth, but turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon. This also explains certain enigmatic passages that envision a lengthy period of time, but are referred to simply as days, such as Hosea 6, 1 and 2. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. That's about 2,000 years in reality. He will raise us up on the third day, the final millennium, that we may live before him, the restoration of Israel. So therefore, the veil or proper is actually 3.5 years long, basically from the midpoint of the trib, with an unspecified period of time following. And that is in the day the Lord has issued with respect to Israel, Christ's disposition towards her. All right, Roman numeral 5, concluding observations in regards to the day of the Lord. A, as with every significant prophetic event in history, God has revealed the specifics of this momentous period of time in his word. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. For those who say you can't know in regards to the period of history in which you live, such as being in the rapture generation. Just like he let Noah know before the flood, he lets those who are astute and oriented and positive regards to Bible doctrine, prophetic events, regards to the last day. Those in the tribulation, those who are oriented, will know this lasts 7 years. So if you're positive, God will reveal everything necessary in order for you to be oriented to your time. Anything that would have any impact to you adversely otherwise, God will provide information for you to make the right application. And they have the right perception and the right approach. However, those that are negative will not understand what is coming upon the planet. But those to you with doctrine will be oriented. Daniel 12:10. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly. And none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. All those in regards to the prophecies that Daniel has revealed in regards to his book. And those who have insight, they will understand. We will discern. Now, we don't overcome, we discern. Jesus Christ overcomes. Now, there is an aspect we do overcome in regards to saving faith. Overcome the world. This explains the thief in the night metaphor that is applied to the day of the Lord. As we saw 1 Thessalonians 5:2, that it will come upon the unsuspecting masses of the world. 2 Peter 3:10. D, this is to be distinguished from the coming of Christ at the rapture, which also employs the thief metaphor to remove the church from the planet before the hour of testing. Revelation 3:3, in regards to the message to Philadelphia, also 16:15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame. Looking at, harking back to the language that's used in regards to the Church of Laodicea. And hence, tying these historical events together. And people in the rapture, there will be positive volition. There will be those who become believers and those who are oriented to doctrine. The time of history they live, recognizing the ultimate consequences for standing for the faith at that period in time and what it might cost them even their lives, all these things. All the Old Testament promises to Israel will be fulfilled at that time as the new covenant goes into effect. Jeremiah 31:27-34. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel, and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. It will flourish and prosper in regards to their own existence as well as what they own. And it will come about that as I've watched over them to pluck up, break down, to overthrow, destroy, and to bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. It's behind both their discipline based on reversionism as well as their blessing based on their positive volition. In those days they will not say again, the fathers have eaten the sour grapes. The children's teeth are set on edge. Get the term sour grapes from us. That everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man will eat the sour, who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which was a conditional covenant. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Again, a reference to Israel and Christ as a bride and groom. But this is a covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Anticipation of the positive remnant that comes out of Israel and is extended throughout the millennial period. Phenomenal. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. Also, Joel 3:1. For behold, in those days and at that time when I restore the forces of Judah and Jerusalem. If, however, the maladjusted Jews were chided by the prophets for their unrealistic expectations that the day of the Lord would benefit them in spite of their evil. Amos 5:18-23. Alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you if you're not oriented in regards to God and His plan? What will you experience is wrath or blessing? It will be darkness and not light for those who are negative. As when a man flees from a lion, a bear meets him. Sudden fear. Or goes home, leans his hand against the wall, and a snake bites him. Unexpected. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light, even gloom with no brightness? I reject your festivals. All the religious exercises that they went through, but without reality. even though they adhere to Christmas or whatever, as we put in our terms today, there is no reality. Nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. And still, we're very religious people, in spite of their religious reversionism. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps. All this is ritual without reality. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Did you present me with sacrifices and grain offerings in the wilderness for 4 years, O house of Israel? Yes. You also carried along Asikoth, your king, and Kidian, your images, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. The Exodus generation being reversionistic, idolatrous generation in and of themselves. But they went through all the rigmarole. Like coming to Bible class and not making application and your heart's far away from God otherwise. See? It's just an exercise of futility. Therefore, I will make you go into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of armies. The negative Jews will suffer the same treatment with the negative Gentiles that the negative Gentiles received from the hand of the Lord. Negative volition is not a respecter of race, of persons. Zephaniah 1:2-13. I will completely remove all things from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will remove man and beast. I will remove the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, and the ruins along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. So I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the names of the idolatrous priests along with the priests, those who bow down on the housetops to the host of heaven, worship stars, astrology, things of that nature. Those who bow down and swear to the Lord, yet swear by Milcom. Some people just think because they keep their toe in the water of doctrine in some form or fashion while they're clinging off onto all the other sacred cows in their life, that they're all right before God. I beg to differ. So does the Word of God in that regards. Either you're committed to God or you're not. Either you're positive or you're not. Either you're adjusted or you're not. But that's the way it is with people. You have all the aspects of evidence of what you are, if you're intellectually honest, in critique and evaluation of yourself. And those who have turned back from the fallen Lord, those who have not sought the Lord or inquired of Him. Verse 7, be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated His guest. It will come down on the day of the Lord's sacrifice. I will punish the princes, the king's sons, and all who clothe themselves with foreign garments. And I will punish on that day all who leap on the temple threshold, who fill the house of their Lord with violence and deceit. On that day, declares the Lord, there will be the sound of a cry from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter. And a loud crash from the hills, well, inhabitants of the mortar part of Jerusalem. For all the people of Canaan will be silenced. All who weigh out silver will be cut off. And it came about at that time, the bankers. Weigh out silver, that's bankers. You didn't know that. No. Money changers, they're called in Scripture. Then I will search Jerusalem. I will come about at that time, verse 12, that I will search Jerusalem with lamps. I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit. See, stagnant in spirit. Why? You must constantly evaluate yourself. Where are you at? Evaluate what's going on around you. Things that happen to you. You just blow them off and say, oh, that's just the way life is. Or are you sensitive? But is God trying to open my eyes somewhere? Am I maladjusted somewhere? If my skids aren't being greased, I'm going, big grief, God, what did I do? That's my natural reaction. And now I start critiquing myself. After a while, I go, I did nothing, it was somebody else. But anyway, just kidding. Now, I mean, that's what doctrine should do for you. That's what it should do with you. That's why you're given doctrine. That's why you think this way. So you can look your life all right. Am I in line or am I out of line? Is God trying to give me a wake-up call? Is this divine discipline or is this just a test? All these things we have to come to a conclusion on. And you come to the correct conclusion by being in fellowship, isolating your sin nature, and putting doctrine before yourself and your critiquing. So. I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. See, God's not in this. It's just bad luck. It's just the economy. Oh, God can't bless you in spite of the economy all of a sudden? Like I said before, I'm blown away in regards to how God has blessed everybody in this local church, essentially, that stayed faithful over the years economically. Yeah, we've had our tests. But God's kept our heads above water. And pretty much so in regards to other adjusted local churches I know. Moreover, their wealth will become plunder and their houses desolate. They will build houses but not inhabit them, and plant vineyards but not drink their wine. So, negative volition will pay the piper, so to speak. They will reap their consequences, just as positive volition will reap blessing in contrast. And that makes any difference who you are, what your station is in life, your racial affiliation, or any of these other things that human beings put so much emphasis on. Finally, the phrase, the day of the Lord, is differentiated from the phrase, the day of God, that looks to the new heavens and earth in His eternal state. Again, 2 Peter 3:12, that makes that differentiation. All right, back to the text.